The other day I was out walking along the abandoned railroad bed that runs in back of our property when I was startled by a fiery patch of brilliant red lying on the pine needles in front of me. I was held transfixed, as if a shard of the sun had fallen from the sky. I picked it up and cradled it in my hand. It was a male cardinal, its body still warm in the cold morning air. I thought for a moment it was merely stunned and would revive shortly, but its breast was still and its eyes were shrunken in death. There were no apparent wounds or other signs of injury on it. It had apparently just died, as they say in human obituaries, of natural causes. I took the bird home, laid it out on my desk, and began to examine it. The eyes, black and squinted, were hidden in the recesses of the sable face mask that surrounds the large, pale, opalescent red-orange beak. But other than this jet-black face muff, red pervades all the other parts of its body in subtle and wonderfully contrapuntal ways. Even the cardinal's delicate scaly legs, curled padded toes, and sharp curved talons are pigmented with a dark purplish hue. When I began to explore the plumage more closely, however, I discovered not only a remarkable variety of hues, but also that the colors are often not what they seem to be. A male cardinal's breast, for instance, which appears as the area of purest, most intense red, is a chromatic illusion. Plucking out a few of the breast feathers, I found that the barbs on the lower third of each feather are actually a pale gray, that those in the middle third are gray at the base but red at the end, and that only the barbs of the last third near the tip of the feather are completely red, and of a tint much paler than the breast itself. On the bird, these feathers are overlapped, like courses of shingles, so that the gray portion is hidden to view, and the effect is that of solid red. I fell into a kind of trance of alert wonder as I probed and explored the different parts of the bird's body. It was like sinking into a vast lake of feathers, descending into deeper and deeper layers of light and softness. It would take a long time to describe in detail what I learned in only a half hour of investigating this one bird's plumage. Yet I'd only begun to scratch the surface of the artifice and design used in creating such a complex and stunning symmetry of form and color. Perhaps the most important part of the experience was its unexpectedness. The bird had simply fallen at my feet and asked me to follow. I felt grateful to the bird and an obligation to return or restore what respect I could. Our culture has few accepted rituals for such urges. As a child, I used to bury dead birds in shoeboxes in the backyard, though I often dug them up a few days later to see if birds really did go to bird heaven. I'm long past such innocence, but neither was I willing to put the dead cardinal in a plastic bag, as I have done with other dead animals I've found, and place it in the freezer for future research. No, best to return it where I found it, to let foxes, beetles, fungi, bacteria, or possibly my neighbor's cat perform their own ornithological investigations. I know that they will, like me, transform what they examine into themselves.